Just teasing. Praise God. You ready for the word this morning? Hallelujah. God is so good. I want to start us off with the scripture we started sharing last week out of 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God. You can say it with me. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now, this is one of the things I want to get down on the inside of us. How many times does God lead us into triumph? Once in a while? Occasionally? Well, when God's in a good mood? No, he always leads us into triumph. Amen. This is scripture. This is faith. No matter what happens, no matter what I'm up against, no matter what occurs in my life, no matter how bad it seems at the moment, Christ always leads me into triumph. And I can thank God he always leads me into triumph. Not occasionally, not once in a while, not when it feels good to him. Oh, Lord, Lord, have mercy on me. He's already had mercy on you. He's already had mercy on you. He has already. This is so hard for people to get because we get our eyes on the natural things. And we get our eyes on the circumstances and we get our eyes off of God. But in Christ, every need you have has already been met. Every grace you need has already been given to you in Jesus, or else Jesus didn't complete the work. He either did it or he didn't do it. And when we say, well, Lord, I need you, God, for you to do something new. No, he can't do anything new. Listen, this is so great. He has already healed you. It's a done work. Well, how can Jesus already heal me? I don't know, but he did it 2,000 years ago. It's been done for a long time. But God, I've got some financial problems. Well, he is our life, amen? He is these things to us. Look at the word of the Lord that we passed out to you this morning. I want to share that with you because I think this goes so well with the messages that we've gotten into since the first of the year. This was given on Sunday morning, November the 18th, and if you go online, you can actually hear it. It's on our on the sermon that you pull up for that morning. You can actually listen to it live, or not live, but listen to it as it was given. And I can't say I can get all that emphasis in it when I share it with you, but listen to what he said. He said, the times are troubled, and there are those who would look around and say, where do we go? I would say to you, come to me. Come to me. Where in the world can you find peace? Where can you find stability? Where can you find anywhere in the world things of certainty? They don't exist. They're in me, saith God, and when you find me, you find rest for your souls. The world is looking for it. The world tries to counterfeit it, but they don't have it. They can't produce it because it is in me, saith God. It's time for my body to come to me. It's time to take your refuge in me, saith God. It's time to have faith because if you look at the world, you will surely sink with it. But I am above the world. And I have drawn you out of the world into myself for those who would dare to come. For those who would dare to come against tradition, those who would dare to come against the convenience of this world and say, I will stand with God. For this is the day and this is the hour of the beginning of the separation where the world and the church will become more distinct than it's ever been before. And it will cause things to come upon you that you would not understand if you did not understand that they come against me. But they shall not succeed, says the Lord, not against me. For I am enthroned on high, and every name that has been named in the earth is beneath me. For I am the name above all names. Jesus says he is the King of kings and Lord of all lords. They cannot succeed against me, saith God, for I hold their fate in my hands. Neither can they succeed against you. If you are hidden in me, the storms may come. The earthquakes may shake the ground, but you shall not be moved. For I have never let the righteous beg for bread. For I am their provision. I am their bread. I am their life. I am their breath, saith God. And those who come to me shall be filled by my Spirit, says the Lord. And I will lead you in the way that you should go, but you should start by coming to me. I'll show you the way, but I'm telling you the way right now. Come unto me, saith God. Come unto me, depart from the things of wickedness, depart from the things of this world that would draw you away, and come unto me. Run to the light. Run to the light. For I am the light, and as you approach me, more and more will your light grow and shine forth for all the world to see. And they'll say to you, what's different? You've changed. And you'll just say, I don't know. It must be the Lord. And it will be by me, will be me, saith God. For I will bring change to you, saith God, if you pursue me. And I will give you the answers to the desires of your heart, if you pursue me, saith God. For I am all the answers. I am all that there is, saith God. I am the Alpha and the Omega, and I am the author and the ending of your faith. So trust in me, saith God. I will not let my people perish. I will not let them overcome you, saith God, for you are in me and I am in you. Now, when you begin to listen to this, the only way as a Christian being in God, the only way you can be defeated is if God gets defeated. Now, think about it. Well, what could defeat God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He is above everything. He is the creator. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is all these things. And yet, as Christians, so often we think that the situation is bigger than God. We think the crisis is always bigger than God. We say, oh God, what are we going to do now? Same thing you've always done. Come unto me, saith the Lord. You know, that's what you need to do. Come unto me. Why? There's refuge. He is our rock of refuge. He is our tower of strength. He is our mercy. He is our provision. Everything we need is in Him. And if we are in Him, then we have everything He has, which is more than what you can ever possibly think, ask, or imagine. Because it's in Him. And we're praying so often. Our prayers are limited to asking God for stuff. When if we will seek Him, all the stuff that you need is in Him. It's already there. It's already in Him. And if we can be in Him, I like Colossians. It says, "Oh, my life is hid in Christ." I like that word "hid" because when we were kids, we used to play hide-and-seek. Now, you might not have ever done that, but we played hide-and-seek. And you know, every kid, when you play hide-and-seek, because when you catch yourself, you're in hiding, the thing you do when you're in hiding is you close your eyes. You don't even think about it. You're not even aware that you're doing it, but I'm hid, I'm under the blanket, but I'm going to close my eyes like it helps. And there's always this idea as a kid, you know, if this really works, I could stand in the open and close my eyes and they still couldn't find me. Didn't you think that? I mean, come on, let's be real. It's like, if I would just close my eyes and squeeze tight enough, I could be in the wide open and they couldn't find me. Well, just think about it. You are in Christ. And you are hidden in Him. I mean, there's no better place to be hid but in Christ. There is no better place to be away from the world than to be in Christ. And I think about it. If I'm in Christ and I am hidden in Him, the devil's going around seeking whom he devour. Where's that Gordon Brubaker? I'm looking for him. Man, I got my hammer out. I am ready to pound. Where is Gordon Brubaker? And he walked right past me because I'm hidden in Christ and he can't see me at all. Where's that Gordon? I'm going to get him. I'm looking for him. That fool, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. As long as I stay in Christ, I'm hid from him. See, the Bible says he's as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But if I'm hid in Christ, he can't find me. He can seek till the cows come home, but I'm going to stay hidden. I'm going to stay in the position. The Bible says we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, it doesn't say one of these days in the future. One of these days in the great by and by when we are all dead and our bones have turned to dust in the ground, you will finally, ultimately, be seated in heavenly places. No, it says you are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now. Now. That means now. That means now yesterday. It means now tomorrow. But it's always now for me. I am now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're just going to go with this. But the scriptures that have been coming up to me, that I am just absolutely amazed at all over again. And you can find it multiple times in the Bible, and it's so hard to get people to believe. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, the Father will give it to you. Amen. Now, what does that mean? You got any Bible scholars out? What does that mean? It means this: if you ask anything in his name, he'll give it to you. That's what it means. Well, yes, brother, but you know, there's certain... No. If you're hidden in Christ, if you ask anything in his name, he will give it to you. Well, then it's mine, right? It's mine. And yet we go, oh God, I pray, our Lord, I hope you'll answer. Hope? Jesus, how many times did Jesus say that? He says it, I think, at least twice in every gospel. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it for you. And my Father, he'll do it for you. Anything. Well, what's so hard to understand about anything? It's because it is bigger than what we can imagine in our limited mind, because we're busy looking at the things of the world, and we know we can't have anything we want in this world. And you're right. But you can have anything you want in God. Why? He's not of this world. He is far, high, and above the things of this world. He can create gold. If he had a mind to, I heard Keith Moore was saying this, I think, this morning, or I've been listening to so many of his tapes lately, but he said, you know, if you have taxes that you're in debt and you've got to pay taxes or bills, God could meet your need by telling you to go fishing. All you need is that one with a gold coin in his mouth. You know what gold's worth these days? $1,600, I think, was the last thing I saw. All I need is an ounce of gold. That's one coin. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. You know, Lord, I wish I had a $20 gold piece. Yeah, man, if I had a $20 gold piece, it'd be worth a whole lot more than $20, I'll tell you that. Man, I'm going to whoever these gold people are and cashing that baby in. Hallelujah. See, God has ways of making provision. Do you know one of the unique things they say, the scientists say, gold cannot, or all the gold that was ever in the world is still in the world. It's all there. Do you know when they take salinity, this is how wonderful God is. When they take the test of the oceans and they do the mineral content, there's 200 pounds of gold in the ocean for every person. 200 pounds. I like mine now, thank you. You know, bring it on, Lord. It's like, and there's people out there that they're working for years, have been working at how to retrieve the gold that's in the ocean. Well, where did it come from the ocean? Erosion from the soil. And we're still finding gold in the ground. New veins, new mines. And it's like, my 200 pounds is in the ocean just floating around. Maybe that's why we like the beach. I don't know. Just go out there and lay in my wealth and my abundance. Amen. Hallelujah. Just soak up that gold that's in that water. Hallelujah. But see, this is how good God is. And we forget about those things. We don't let our imagination go. Now, if there's that much gold in the ocean, just think if you would be the one to pray and seek after God, and God would give you the ability, the formula, whatever it takes, to extract that gold, you would be wealthy beyond your imagination. And of course, you'd build your platform out in international waters so they couldn't tax you. Because you have the mind of God, amen? Hallelujah. Go to Romans chapter 1. Hallelujah. We got into this last week, and man, it was not where I was intending to go, but God took us there, and I want to return this week because there's a bunch of stuff in this. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 19, Paul writes, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." And one of the things, and I had never really thought about this till the Lord started bringing it out last week in the message, but We suppress the truth in unrighteousness. When you know that Jesus took all your sins on the cross, and yet you condemn yourself over and over and over and over and over for the same sin. Now, I'm not saying you don't need to repent. If you're sinning, you need to repent. But if you have beat yourself over the head for years with a sin, the problem is you're suppressing the truth of your forgiveness because you're looking at unrighteousness. If you're saying, Lord, I've got to get my healing, I've got to get my healing, I've got to get my healing. Jesus healed you 2,000 years ago. Every sickness, every disease was laid on him. Every sorrow, every grief was laid on him. Everything. He took it all. And when we don't receive it, we are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. And what does it says will happen to those or will come, I won't say happen, will come on those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness? The wrath of God. Now, I'm not looking at this of God's going to get you. I'm not looking at it that way. But we're asking for the grace of God to be poured out, and it's hard to get his grace to operate for us if we aren't trusting in God. See, if we're suppressing the truth, God's grace can't work for you in that area. Lord, I just want to be forgiven. I know I did this horrible thing years ago. Lord, the guilt just weighs down on me. Well, receive the forgiveness by grace. Listen, there is not one single thing you can do to earn it. It doesn't come by works. It comes by grace, which means it can only come from God. There's no other source. There's no other stability in our times. There's no other place to go to get this. Lord, I need strength. Yeah, God knows it, but you've got to trust him. Lord, I thank you, Lord, I have strength. I thank you, Lord. Now, one of the things I always kid about, but I think is true, never ask God for patience. Do not ask. Why? Because patience comes through trials. So when you ask God for patience, you're asking God, Lord, send trials on me so I can develop patience. Now, see, if you're smart, you thank God you already have patience. Amen. Because we've all been through trials, right? We've all been through hard times. I don't need more trials. But Lord, I thank you for patience. Lord, I thank you for patience. Oh, God, I thank you, God, I have patience. Don't ask for it, because the only way you can get it is more trials. If I'm already in a trial, I don't need additional trials. I thank God I have patience. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have these things. And God says, remember, we have the things we ask for. We have the things. So thank God for these things. Thank God that you have the things that you lack. Thank you, Lord, I have finances. Thank you, God, that you have fish with gold in their mouths in my backyard. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have all that I need. I have. When you go around and all you do is confess, oh, I'm so sorry. Man, I'm so poor. Man, I don't know where the next bill's or where the next check's coming from. Lord, I don't know where the next money's coming from. God's trying to say, I've got grace for you. And you won't go. You won't look. You talk yourself into depression. Pretty soon you don't show up at work because, well, what good is it going to do? And it's like you've lost your whole life. And say, well, where was God? God's right there with a paycheck. God's right there with the finances. He's right there with the blessing. But you won't let him bless you because you're busy confessing all the things you don't have. And so, thank you, God, you meet all my needs according to your riches in glory. He does not meet my needs according to my needs. He meets them according to his riches. And I thank God he overflows my containers. He overflows my bank account. He causes money to appear supernaturally. He gives me favor wherever I go in every situation. Lord, I thank you in advance. I have favor. I don't go in and say, come out of me and say, God, help me, help me, help me. No, I want the favor before I get in there. I want God to precede me into that room, into that meeting. So when I go in, I've got the confidence of God, and I can speak boldly and confidently. You will give me favor. You will give me my blessing. You will give. Now, you don't have to be up front in their face like that, but thank God I've got it already. They don't know it. They don't need to know. You don't need to tell them, but you can get favor. One, you go in expecting it. Because let me tell you, when you don't think you have favor, you go and say, you owe this to me. I demand you give me what. And I want to tell you something. You cannot demand grace. The moment you demand, you have stepped out of grace. Grace is not a debt that God owes you. It is a favor he gives to you.
Yes.
And the first time you start demanding it in Jesus' name, it's like you've just stepped away from grace. Now God can't. Watch this theologically. I'm not sure about all the correct theology on this. But when you start demanding the things of God, God cannot activate his grace towards you, because now if he gives you the grace, you will receive it. Look, I talk God into it, and it won't be grace. Grace is a gift of God. There is absolutely nothing you can do to deserve it. It is just a free grace of God. Now, if you get a hold of that, you begin to understand the love of God. Because when I was lost, he saved me. When I wasn't thinking about him at all, he turned my life around. When I didn't have time for God because I was doing all my own thing, all this, he stepped in my life and called me by name. Caused me to be born again. Not because of me, because of him. For the great love that he had for me, for the great love that he has for you, he'll do these things because he loves you, not because he owes you. Just because he loves you. Well, I don't hardly know how God would do this to me. Well, but he just loves you. He just loves you enough. I'll do it. If you believe, I'll do it for you. This is the power of God. Amen. Now, one of the questions I wrote down for me is, what is the hope that we suppress? And the scripture came up to me, Christ in us, the hope of glory. See, the truth that we tend to suppress is this hope of glory. Thanks be to God who always leads me in triumph in Christ Jesus. See, when I don't see the victory, I'm suppressing that truth, because he says he always leads me into triumph. Well, why should I, if I want to win the race, why do I want to talk this way? Why do I want to deal with things in the negative if God always leads me into triumph? Why do I always want to confess my defeat? Why do I always want to go? I'm suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, in unbelief, in ungodliness. Maybe I'm asking God to do things, but I won't give him over, give my life over to him. I won't do the things that he's asked me to do. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. Have you learned that yet? If I do the right things, it's a whole lot easier to have God's favor on me than if I'm constantly kicking against him and arguing with him and frustrating his plans and purposes for my life, and say, well, God bless me anyway, God, because I know you love me. So yeah, I love you. Now straighten up. He said, but Lord, I don't want to straighten up. But you got to straighten up. But Lord, you said you'd give me grace. No, now we're getting over to works. Now we're getting over to demands, aren't we? No, it's the grace of God simply because he loves you. But it's like any good parent. The more obedient the kids are, the more eager the parents are to bless them, because they know it won't ruin you. Now, why is it some people don't get all the blessings from God that they think they deserve? Because God knows it'll destroy your life. Because you'll start thinking you're the center of attention. You are not the center of attention. I hate to burst your bubble. God is the center of our attention. Amen. And oh, man. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. See, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the first part of 18 that I love to add with this, and all things are of God. Now, what happened when you were born again? You became a new creature. What happened to all the old stuff? Passed away. So why are you living there? Why are you living in the past? Why are you living in all that old junk? Well, you know, I've always done it this way. Wait, but I thought you were a new creature. I thought you were different. I thought all those old stuff passed away. Now, I'm getting ready to flip on you here in a minute. But all those old things have passed away. All things All things, say that with me, all things have become new. And all the new things that have become new are of God. Now, here's where the frustration comes in. Here's where the real kicker is, when you realize that we still struggle with the weaknesses of the flesh. When you realize that I know all things are new, but boy, that old pattern of thinking just really wants to hang on. And you tend to get frustrated because there's a hope in you of transformation. When you got born again, you thought everything would change, right? And it really did. Except you've got to renew your mind to it because you're not used to thinking the way that God thinks. And so we've got to continually work at renewing our mind. Now, wait a minute. All things are new. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I thank you, God, I'm a new person. Old things have passed away. I thank you. When you find yourself revisiting that old pattern, thank you, Lord, that's passed away. That no longer controls my life because all things are new. I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to live worried all of my life. I don't have to live in condemnation. I don't care what mom and dad or my best friend tells me. I don't have to live under that condemnation. I don't have to take that. They told me, you'll be sick all the days of your life because you were a sickly little baby. I don't have to accept that. My dad spoke over me all the time. You got big knuckles like I do, and boy, you're going to get arthritis when you get older. Not in Jesus' name. I don't want it. Well, you know, but dad always said, well, dad didn't know what he was talking about. I'm sorry, I love my dad. But he wasn't renewed that all things are new in Christ. Amen. He didn't understand that. If he would have, he never would have said that to me. Amen. Yeah. And if your mind is renewed, there's a lot of things you would never say. Yeah, amen. Right. If we're renewed, I want to be renewed, but you got to renew it. And you got to renew it by casting the old things down and replacing it with a new thought. Listen, you can never change a habit just by throwing an old habit out. The only way you change a habit is by starting a new habit. If you've always done it that way and that way has always got you into trouble, stop it. But start doing it a new way. Start doing it a new way. Oh, I'm just depressed all the time. Well, stop worrying about being depressed and start praising God. But you don't understand, Gordon. I don't feel like praising God. No, you don't understand. You need to start praising God. Because if all you do is sit around all day and say, well, I just can't praise God. I don't have anything to praise God for. You are going to talk yourself into depression. Why? Because you won't get your mind off of what you're in. But when I, thanks be to God, who always leads me to triumph. But don't you understand how bad it is? Yeah, I do. I'm not blind. I'm not stupid. But thanks be unto God, who always leads me to triumph. Well, don't you understand what the doctor said? Yes, I do. But thanks be unto God, who always leads me to triumph. Don't you understand that they just took more taxes out of your paycheck? Yes, I understand that. But thanks be unto God, who always leads me to triumph. The government is not my source. My business is my job is not my source. God is my source. And he never has seen the righteous begging for bread. Well, if I'm out there begging, you're doing something wrong. You're not doing something right if you're begging for bread. The first thing is, you're begging. Because God is your source. I don't know where I'm going to get this from God. See, if you got your mind off of that, you've got your mind on other things. Hallelujah. It's good preaching. You say, oh me or oh my, or move your feet. I've got to move my feet sometimes. Like, whoa, that was good. Hallelujah. I got to move out of here before I get blue toes. Amen. But now, go to John chapter 3:19. Man, I never get a chance to get through all this stuff. John 3:19. It's good though, isn't it? It's good. Hallelujah. John 3:19. This is a condemnation because we forget that our spirit was born again, not your flesh. Our spirit is what was born again, not your mind. I've got to renew my mind to what God has now brought me into, and I don't even understand what just happened. You know, I'm born again. I don't even know what that means, but I've got to renew my mind to it. See, this is why you've got to be around people of faith, not doubt. You've got to be around people that have confidence, not all those. When I got born again, I came home. I talked to one of my favorite deacons in church. I loved him. He was a dear, sweet, precious man of God. And I told him, I got born again. I said, I am so excited about what God did in my life. You know what he said to me? Don't worry, Gordon, it'll pass. I don't want it to pass. You don't. I feel better than I've ever felt in my life. It'll pass. I don't want it to pass. It's like a new drug. I don't want to get off of it. Understand? I do not want to change. I do not want to go in a different direction. It feels good right here in Jesus. It feels good reading my Bible. It feels good praying before I go to bed at night. It feels good to be in His. It feels good to be in church. Don't worry, Gordon. It'll pass. No, 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 no. Maybe it passed for you because you're now concealing the truth in unrighteousness. I just got it, and I ain't going to conceal it. I don't want to hide this thing. I feel too good. It's like in Haiti for years and years and years, when this is their custom, when someone asks, how are you? You say, papi mal, which means I'm not so bad. Because it was seen as a thing of pride if you say, I feel good. That's prideful. So you don't do that. Now, why would that be prideful? Because when you realize there's people around you that don't have food, when you realize that all the children that have reddish hair are malnourished, when you understand the sickness and disease, only 30% of the people in Haiti have electricity, and that's only for part of the day. You might get it for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. It might come on from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m, or it might come on at noon to 1. You have no clue. Food is scarce. We saw a little girl one time carrying one of these big things on top of her head, and she walked down into a valley, and she got down in the valley, and there was runoff water down there, and people were throwing their trash in the valley and everything like this, because they don't have regular stuff. They're just now starting to get some of those things. And there's a pig laying down there, and she's walking past the pig. I'm just watching her go down there, and she walks down the middle where there's a little flow of water. She puts down the burden from off of her head and washes her legs in the water to get them clean. You and I wouldn't even step in the water, let alone use it to bathe in. When she had washed her legs off, she put the burden back on her head and climbed up the other hill. So when you, in those conditions, when you tell somebody, hey, I'm good, it's like, you prideful thing. And Pastor Brufall has had to teach his people to say, I am well. Muy bien. I'm blessed. Says it's not a sign of pride. It's a reality of who you are in Christ Jesus. Don't you think we could learn from that? Mm-hmm. How you doing, brother? Well, I got this ache in my back, and my foot's been bothering me lately. It's like, it's not that we're denying those things exist. But when we accentuate those things, we are denying the power of God. Do you understand this? We are suppressing the truth, the hope of glory in us, in unrighteousness. Have you found John 3? Go to verse 19. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. This is the condemnation. That, we don't think about it this way, but the condemnation is that light came in the world. The hope, the joy, the reality of a God of salvation has entered the world. And I can believe that and accept that and suppress the reality of that, because I'd rather cling to darkness than cling to the power of God. This is a condemnation, that light came. If there was no light, I wouldn't know I was in darkness. If there was no light, if there was no distinction of being born again, I wouldn't be aware of it. Only through God do I understand that there's a distinction. Only in God do I understand that I'm healed, that I'm blessed, that I'm righteous, that I'm forgiven. Only in God are those things true, because in the world it's not. So the very fact that God has come into my consciousness now, He's come into my awareness, and He says, you're healed. All your sicknesses were carried away at the cross. Now when I get sick, there's condemnation that comes in, because I shouldn't be sick, because God has healed me. When Satan brings up a past sin of mine and beats me over the head with it, I condemn myself. It's like, oh man, I thought I was free of that. And I walk in the darkness rather than the truth. Oh God, I thank you, you've forgiven me of that. I thank you, God, that has passed away and you've removed that from me. See, I can still have the memory of it, but it doesn't have to control my life. Thank you, God. When those bad things come up, thank you, Father, you set me free from that. Thank you, God, you've delivered me from that. Thank you, God. See, there, but the do you see how the condemnation can come in? It's like, I'm not looking for the condemnation, but all of a sudden, oh man, that's how I've always done it. Why did I do it that way again? There's certain mannerisms that Dad had. And in part of my rebellion, I didn't want to be like that because it really bothered me. You know, every now and then I find myself making a motion. It's like, that's what Dad did. Ooh, 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 ooh. It's like, I don't want to be like that. Oh, cooties, get off me, get off me. I don't want to do that. It's like, but I lived with Dad for a long, long time. I admired him. I loved him. I wanted to step at where he stepped. I wanted to do what he did. I wanted him to be proud of me. And there's times I still have to fight that, because there were some things that he didn't know about that I still continue in. And I can either walk in the condemnation, oh, I'm just like Dad. I can either walk in that condemnation or thank you, God, you've given me a new life. And Father, I love my earthly dad. I love him. I appreciate all that he knew and all the wisdom he imparted into me. But God, I thank you. You are my father. And now my characteristics emanate from you, not my natural dad. See, when the Lord showed me, when I gave my life to the Lord when I was 12, and the Lord showed me years after that, because I was going through this thing, I really wasn't saved. And he says, because I said, I only went forward because Dad gave an altar call, and his altar call was essentially, if you'd like to join the church and become a member, come forward. And that was his altar call. And one day when he gave it, about once every 3 or 4 months, the thought hit me, you know, it would really make Dad happy if I'd go forward. So I went forward. I was baptized. Became a member of the church, and I had no clue. Nobody, Dad didn't talk to me. He's a pastor. He never talked to me, never shared to me what had happened. I found out about church membership. I wanted to be a good Christian, blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. And so when this comes up later, I'm walking in condemnation because, man, I'm not saved. I only went forward to please my dad. And you know what the Lord said? It wasn't your natural father you were trying to please. But you saw me in him, and your heart was to please me. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. Because, see, I believe God wasn't my dad. He wasn't my father. And I do believe that my heart's desire was not just to please my earthly dad. I wanted to please the heavenly father that I saw in him. Because I didn't disassociate the two. They were the same things to me. You know, my dad was almost like God to me. I mean, when I was small, he was God to me. I mean, my life was in his hands. But I could either walk in condemnation or I could walk in the revelation of who I am in Christ Jesus. Now here's the key to understanding this. Because let me say this first. We want to sew a new patch of cloth onto an old garment. And all it does is rip it out and make the hole worse. We want to pour that new wine into an old wineskin, and all it does is blow up the wineskin, and eventually it'll burst and you'll lose all the wine and everything with it. And unfortunately, that's what happens to a lot of Christians, because they know there's a hope in them, but they get so disturbed that they keep doing things according to the old pattern that they don't give themselves a chance. And so the condemnation comes in, because now they know they should be different, and they're not. So the condemnation comes in. And so all they do is they walk in that condemnation. And the problem is we're sewing a new piece of cloth onto an old garment, and it doesn't fit. We're pouring new wine into an old wineskin, and it doesn't work anymore. Now, this is a key. Verse 18, John 3:18. Jesus said, he who believes in him is not condemned. I'll just stop there. He who believes in Jesus is not condemned. See, the world brings condemnation. The world brings all these things. Oh, you blew it again? Yeah, but I'm believing in Jesus. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. There's no condemnation. Why? I'm in Christ. Yeah, I do it. I did it again. Yeah, I blew it. Yeah, I've been struggling with that area in my life. I'm trying to renew my mind. But, you know, I am not going to get under condemnation because I've messed up again. Because grace doesn't come by works. And it's only grace that allows me to break the old pattern. It's His grace. It's His mercy. It's His new life in me. And if I believe in that, oh, Lord, I thank You for new life. Lord, I thank You, God. I thank You, Lord, I am free. I thank You, God, those old patterns that I didn't like and still don't like and like even less today. I thank You, God, those have all passed away. I thank You, God, I am not that man. He died with Jesus, was nailed to the cross with Him, and I am free of that old man, and all things have become new in Jesus Christ. See, He always leads me into triumph. Always leads me into triumph if I do these things. Amen? Praise God. Well, I'm gonna stop there, because if we go further, we're gonna be here another half hour. But are you understanding what we're talking about? This is the grace of God. This is His grace. I'm gonna look to His grace. Every time I mess up, I'm gonna look to His grace. Do I deserve His grace? No, that's why it's grace. Can I earn it? Absolutely not. Why? It's by His grace. You know, Debbie loves me, and I was thinking about this the other day. Why does she love me? It's got to be grace. I'm telling you, it's got to be grace. Would I want to live with me? I don't think so, but I can't get away. I'm trapped. I can't go anywhere. But she can. But she loves me. It's the grace of God. Let me tell you, it's His grace at work. And when you can begin to understand that, Lord, it's Your grace. I don't deserve it. I cannot earn it. Lord, I just accept it. Lord, You love me. You better stand up. Lord, you love me. Lord, and I just thank You. I just thank You, God, that You love me. I thank You, God, You know every stupid thing I've ever done in my life. You know every fit that I throw. You know every condition that I struggle with. And God, You still love me. Well, Lord, I'm not going to get under condemnation because I do foolish things, because God, You're in the process of breaking those things off my life. And I just receive You, Jesus. Just do this with me. Lord, we receive You into our hearts, into our lives. We receive the glory of God. We receive Your righteousness, because we have none of our own, but we receive Yours. You finished the work at the cross. And You gave it to us. Lord, I receive it. I receive Your love, Your mercy, Your power, Your strength in my life. I dedicate myself to You to live in obedience to Your Spirit. So I ask You, God, lead me in the way of righteousness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.